I don't know how you follow that. Well, happy Mother's Day. As we've been talking about these gifts, these spiritual gifts that we receive, we're reminded today when we're going to be talking a little bit about joy, but we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this, into what a gift the women of our church are, the women of our life and community, whether they be our moms, whether they be our friends or mentors or whatever it may be. And we are here today because of the women of our life. As we look back just in the church is here today because of the women of the church. Us men have gotten it wrong a whole lot more. Just do a Google search, all right? We are here because of the women who went before us. And I was beginning to think back on the influential women in my life, and I don't know what they are. I was going to ask you, who were some of the influential women in your life? Sunday school teachers. You remember their names? Mm-hmm.
Youth leaders.
Absolutely.
Girl Scout leaders.
Winoka Richardson. Winoka's right over there. There she is. Mav Jones. Mr. Terry? Absolutely. All your elementary school teachers. Yes?
My mother-in-law, a good one, Mildred.
I'm not going to repeat that on video, but good for you. Yeah. Your mom, oh, that's sweet. That's right, buddy. That was smart. Yep.
Kathy Bearden. Oh,
that is sweet. All right, now when y'all start naming people in the room, everybody's going to get jealous that you didn't name them. Be careful. All right? Yes, Ms. Mary. Oh, now you're doing it again. Ms. Nancy Luter. That's right. Yeah. The one sitting right next to you. Okay, now I see what's happening. That's right. Yeah, there are so many. I think back on school teachers. I think back on ladies who were in the church, people who were coaches for all of these things. I begin to think back on my own mom, and I can't believe all of the things that I put her through when I was growing up. And she'll probably watch this one today. So, hey, Mom, I love you. Yeah. And I remember I was thinking back. I wanted to share some of the fun stories with you before we dive in today. I've shared some of them before, but they're good stories, so you can just listen two or three times. I don't know how many times it's been. But I remember going out in the yard, I was like 9 years old, and I was playing with my brother, and we were getting ready for Taekwondo, and we had on our stark white Taekwondo outfits. You know what I'm talking about? What do you call those? Anybody know what you call those? A what? Yeah, those. Yeah, we had on one of those. And we were out there in the yard, and we were playing, and I had gotten an Indiana Jones whip for Christmas. You ever given your kid an Indiana Jones whip? Yeah, the best moms do. And so we had an Indiana Jones whip. And then we had the Indiana Jones revolver. You remember the toy revolver? This one came in a set. I had the whip. I had the revolver. And I had the great idea that I could be like Indiana Jones. And so I tied the revolver to the end of that whip, and I was going to use it like a hook, the hook in the tree, right? And then I was going to swing like Indiana Jones did in the movies, right? And so I threw it up in that tree, and it took me a bunch of times to finally get it stuck, and I finally got it stuck in that tree, and I pulled it, and I went to swing, and then all of a sudden, the world went dark. And then I woke up, and my brother, who's a few years younger than me, was over me with a face just gawking wide open, and I reached up and touched my head, and there was just blood everywhere. And so then I thought my brother had hit me with something while I wasn't looking, because he was a little brother, and that's a thing you guys do. I don't understand it, but you did it. Right? And so I began to pummel him. And so then now I'm bleeding all over him. So I'm in this Taekwondo outfit covered in my blood. And now I'm beating on my brother who's younger than me. He's now covered in blood. And then we run to our back door, which is all glass, where Mama's making dinner. And we know we shouldn't get the glass dirty. So we try to like knock on the door with something that's not dirty. And I remember Mama, I remembered it vividly. She comes over to where she can see us through the door and she goes, "Oh!" And then ran away. Right? And I was thinking back about, oh my gosh, I remember being at the ball field and messing around, doing things I knew I shouldn't have been doing, and we were catapulting each other up in the air over this big ditch, and I landed wrong on my arm, and when I pulled up, my arm bent two different ways it wasn't supposed to bend. And I remember going over to the ball field and holding it up while she was watching my brother and go, "Mom!" Right? And she goes, "David!" and looks at my dad and points at my arm. I rear-ended no less than 47 people in our small hometown when I started driving. I think my mom couldn't go to the beauty salon or the church anymore because there were just too many of them. right? It's the things we have put these women through in our lives. It's amazing that they're still here with us. It's amazing that they still wanted you to come to church with them on Sunday. It's a beautiful thing. It's a meaningful thing. And it's one of the things that we as United Methodists are proud of. It's a distinctive heritage that we have in this church, that we have been affirming and believing in and trusting in the leadership of women for a long time. John Wesley ordained the first woman, licensed the first woman to preach in 1761. Many of the denominations around us still don't. But here in this church, we do. We have for a long time. You see, the church has wrestled with a couple of different scriptures. I'm going to throw some on the screen for you today. 1 Timothy 2:11 through 12 says, "Let a woman learn in silence with full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She is to keep silent." Happy Mother's Day. 1 Corinthians 14:34 says, "Women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be subordinate, as the law also says." I would like to just point out that this is Paul says, not Stephen says. You see, we are people who think. We are people who listen. We look back on the story of Genesis and all people were created in God's image. How can that be true if only certain ones can do certain things? We look back on the women in our lives who taught us at all points in our lives, who guided us and who used wisdom and who quite honestly showed up more than the men in our lives ever did. And we have to think, how can those people not be able to be called by God to lead, to give of themselves, to sacrifice, to be seen with authority and importance? And then we read these words from Paul, but then we also see others. We look back at Philippians 4:3, and it says, "You, and I ask also you, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life." Paul worked with and equal to and alongside these women. Romans 16:1, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at," a word I can't say, "Kintrea." A deacon, a position of authority that would teach and not be submissive, that would lead and would guide and would be a part of the leadership of the church. Acts 18:26, "He began to speak boldly in the synagogue." This is talking about Apollo. "He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately." The church today is grateful that those women were not silent, that those women stood up, that those women taught, and that those women were wise. In the Old Testament, we have the prophets Miriam and Huldah and Noadiah. We have Deborah, who was a judge, who sat and ruled and decided over the affairs of an entire geographical area for men and women and landowners and for all of the people. In New Testament, we have the prophets like Anna, who was paired with Simeon as an equal. We have Philip's daughters, who were priestesses and prophets. In the epistles, we have Priscilla and we have Lydia as church leaders. And our spiritual gifts that we have been reading through never said some were for certain people and some were from others. This is our stance as a church, that the women in our lives are our equals. And if we're being honest, a lot of times they're our betters. And that the church would not be here if it wasn't for them. Our families would not be here if it wasn't for them. And the church has participated in holding them down for a long time, making it harder for basic things like being able to buy land, being able to vote. But we as United Methodists took a stand early. And it's one of the distinctives of who we are. And we're talking about it today because we know these wonderful, beautiful women of our life. We know what they mean to us and what they mean to this community. We can think of all of the people who love them, whether it's the students that they taught, whether it's the people that they worked with, whether it's just the folks that they led. Man, it is an unbelievable testament to the love of God, these women who are in our life. You see, sometimes we often don't know who we are as a church and what makes us unique. And sometimes we don't even know the people we already stand up for. But we stand up for the women in our lives and church and community. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'd take a Mary over a Peter any day of the week. And I would take a Martha over a Paul on all the other days that Mary wasn't available. I'd take a Miss Wanda and a Miss Nancy and a Miss Kathy and a Miss Amy and a Miss Lena and a Miss Ann and a Miss Winoka and a Miss Nancy and a Miss Mary and a Miss Pat and Miss Faye and Miss Cheryl, and I would take Lori, and I would take my wife, believe it or not, if she'd have me. Do what? We would take Miss Betty. Lord, help us. We would take Miss Betty. I'm going to go ahead and back up. First, I would take Miss Betty. The rest of you can wait. I would take Miss Janice and Miss Whitney. I would take you. And you, and you, and all of you. I'm sorry that I can't name everybody. I feel like whenever I try, I just leave somebody out and make them mad. But I hope that we are naming you this morning. And some of you, I don't know your names. But I believe in you. And this church believes in you and affirms you. And will let you lead and will support you. And will ordain you. Because we believe that God is working through you and in you. And we have experienced it. In our Sunday school classes, in our homes, in our relationships, and just people who know you in the community, it is a wonderful testament to who God is in this world. So this morning, as we were talking about these gifts that we have been given, these spiritual gifts, I think some of the greatest gifts we have been given are sitting right around us. They were there when we were little. Whether they were our mothers or aunts or friends. They were there when we didn't know what to do and we asked our Sunday school teachers or our mentor moms or whoever it might be. They've been there when they were our coworkers. All of the women that surround us are such a personification of the person of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the grace of God. So this morning, as we're thinking about not only our gifts and as we begin to take part in Holy Communion, we do have these carnations up here. As you came in, there was a pink sheet that was given out, and you've donated through the United Methodist Women for flowers, whether in honor of or in memory of, and you're welcome to come get those after the service. We also have some of the pink ones left over that anybody is welcome to if you didn't get one this morning. But as we think about the goodness and the gifts of God, if we're going to be honest and reflective, you are one of our greatest. And we love you and support you. And we're sorry for the times we get it wrong. And we're sorry for the things we said when we were hungry. You are beautiful.